Hello and welcome to the Houston Vineyard Podcast. We sincerely hope that this message is a blessing to you. Enjoy.
Good morning. I'm really excited about today. As you know, we have an ongoing series called One Thing, where we get to hear from people, their story, their God story, and how their story connects them to God in a way that is unique for them and gives us insight into the bigness of God that we wouldn't otherwise see. And so today, I'm really excited to welcome Randy Blair. Randy, I'll talk to you. I told her I'm going to make things up about her. You got to decide what's exaggerated. No. Randy and Adam have become really good friends of Donnie and I's, but more than that, their life is an example of the heart of God lived out in our world. And I'll let you discover that as you watch her speak today and as you look at their lives as a whole. And I just want to say, you guys are, the thing about you that draws me in is that you point to Jesus in ways that are incredibly practical and lived out like very few other people I've met. So it is an incredible honor for us to have you here, and we are incredibly blessed that you're going to speak to us. So help me welcome Randy Blair.
Well, good morning. I would like to thank you guys. Thank you, Pastor Josh and Pastor Danya, for allowing me to come and speak. I am Randy Blair. I am a mother. First, I'm a wife to Adam Blair, and I am a mother to 5 beautiful children, ages from 18, my adultish daughter. I call her adultish because she still needs me. And then 2 3-year-old twins, and I have a set of twin boys. And so today I'm just going to share what God has done for me, for my family. And I do cry because he is so good. He's a good God. And so if I cry, I hope I don't make you feel uncomfortable, but that's how personal my story is, how personal I feel God to be in my life and to my children's lives and my husband's lives. So as I was reflecting on my one thing, I remember as a 14-year-old girl watching my mother cry out to Jesus. After a divorce from my father. When I was 6, she divorced my father. She got, they got custody of the house. She got custody of the house. And the very thing that she divorced, she became. And so I realized, I was like, but she divorced my father, and then she's becoming because she was broken. She was hurting. She needed direction. And so I remember waking up one morning, and my mom was different. And I said, why is she different? And that's the day that she surrendered her life in her bedroom by herself. It didn't take a pastor. It didn't take anybody but her and Jesus. And I noticed the difference because she came to us and she said, I'm going to live my life differently. And I want you guys to watch. I don't want you to come with me. I just want my life to be an example. And so as a 14-year-old girl, I remember seeing my mom apologize to us. I seen my mom pray. I saw my mom just hold fast to what she believed God would do for her. We grew up poor. There was moments where I didn't have water. There's moments I didn't have electricity. There's moments that I went without. But there's moments, this very moment that my mom surrendered her life, the enemy attacked her body, and she was bedridden for 6 months with severe scoliosis with 5 kids by herself. And I remember, like, God, if you're real, why is my mother bedridden? You know, she is, and my mom didn't want to live off the government, so she was very stubborn. She's like, I can do this. I'm not going to raise my kids to depend on the government. And it was around Thanksgiving and Christmas. So just imagine kids, teenagers, wanting Christmas, wanting food. We went without. And every day my mom wanted to go to church, my siblings and I would pick my mom up and put her in the car. And we would, she wanted to go so badly to church. And so as we picked her up, put her in the car, she couldn't sit, she couldn't stand. And so we would do that for maybe 6 months. And one day I walked home from, when I was coming home from school, I saw my mother in the hallway, and I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I was just trying to walk. I was just trying to walk." And that was so impressive. It impressed my heart to see my mom every single day try to walk, try to go to church, and because she believed God would do that. And so I want to take us, I'm going to stop there because I want to take us to Gideon in Judges 6. And I want to talk about Gideon. And we know the backstory of Gideon is that God spoke to Gideon, but Gideon didn't really trust the word that God said. So he gave God two tests. Like, you're going to either do this, and then when you do that, I want you to do this other thing, right? And so I want to just read in Gideon 6:36. It says, "So Gideon said to God, 'If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said.' And it was so, when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, 'Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, that just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry on the fleece, but on all the ground let that there be dew.' And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground." So I talked about my mom because her life reminded me of Gideon, of how she needed direction, she needed God, she needed signs from God. And some part of that was an insecure faith because she trusts God, right? But she just needed to be reassured of his goodness and his faithfulness. And I look at my life and I look at, it's not working. This is the house that I grew up in, and it was a sad place for me. But this is the house where my faith in God started to develop. This is the house where I realized that the same faith that my mom had, I can have. The same tenacity that I saw my mom every single day try to walk, I could have. And I tell you guys, my mom walked within 6 months. Not only did she walk, she ran around. And I was just like mind blown, right? And this is the moment where I started using what I saw my mom do for my life. So like I said, I was raised without a lot of things, but we didn't know that until we got a little older. And so I started in these moments in this house, I started believing God that I would be able to go to college, that I would be able to go to the college that he decided that would be the best college for me. I knew I didn't have the money, but I knew I had the brains to get there. And so I started believing God that he would pay in full for a 4-year ride scholarship to the college that he saw fit that would allow me to be, where was I? Okay, and so I trust God that he was going to take me to the right college. So he took me to Colorado College. And at Colorado College, so my battle at college, my due moment was God showing me that I belonged there and him providing for me. But the battle when I got there was so hard. I saw kids that had two parents. I saw kids that were highly intelligent. Then I was so insecure, like, I don't know those things. I come from a very small town, and they came from a big city. And then I was like, God, but you promised that you would be near me. You would be close to me. And he was. He was. But when God gives us due moments of his faithfulness, there's always going to be a battle. There's always going to be some type of movement of to stretch us even further in knowing who he is and who he says he is for us. And so in that moment, I prayed and I asked God. I was like, okay, I got school under control by junior year. I'm good. I can do this. I picked the hardest major, which was biology. I thought I wanted to be a doctor, but then I saw cadavers and I was like, no, I can't do that. I might as well just become a teacher because I can't see that. And then I started praying and I prayed and I prayed and I said, God, I think I'm ready for my husband. Will you send him my way, you know? And then he sent me my beautiful, handsome husband. And that was my due moment. God sending me my husband, me trusting God. God, also providing the same scripture for my husband and I, because I needed to know again, God, if he's my husband, will you speak to both of us? And so this is the scripture that God shared with Adam and I. Even from eternity, I am he, and there is no one who can rescue from my hand. I act, and who will reverse it? And that scripture is very important to us because, as you can see, we're an interracial marriage. We have an interracial marriage. And a lot of our community members were against us, mainly because we are interracial, but mainly because they had the right woman picked out for him already. And I was this woman that shouldn't have been with him, and I messed their whole game plan up. And so I, in that moment, was like, but God spoke. And God, if you're speaking to me, you're going to speak to my husband. And God spoke the same way to my husband, the same exact scripture, the same day. And I remember us calling each other. I said, hey, Adam, I have a scripture I need to share with you. He said, this is so weird. I have a scripture too. And I was like, okay, let's meet up at Starbucks and let's talk about it. And he said, you go first. I said, no, you go first. And so we both shared at the same time. And it was the same scripture. That was a moment that God used to solidify our marriage, to show us that this is what he has placed us to be. Our battle was infertility. Our battle was being parents. I mean, we all, you know, just this morning trying to get here and be holy and like, God, you can do this. Can you please put your clothes on? You're not wearing that headband. It's dirty. You're not wearing that. That's not, okay, all of those things have been battles as parents, right? But the most important battle was that when God told my husband and I to adopt three wonderful children, at the tender age of 24 and 25, we sat and we watched God orchestrate the beauty of it. My son Alec came into our home first, and my older three kids are all birth related, and Alec came into my home first and our home first, and before Alec came, God shared with me a dream of a bright-eyed little boy that was filled with happiness. And I told my husband, I said, I had a dream about this little boy. His eyes were bright. His hair was so curly. I said, I don't know if he's our biological child. I don't know if he's our adopted child. I don't know. But I know that I saw him. And so when we went through all of our classes to adopt, when they came into our home, the caseworker brought the babies, which they bought Alec first. And Alec reached out to me, and he said, Mama. Never met Alec, only through my dream. I looked at the caseworker, and I said, did you hear that? He said, he called you Mama. And I shared with him. I said, that was the moment. I saw this little boy that you are giving to me as his mother, as my child. I saw him. I saw him in my dream. Our adoption journey has not been easy. It has not been like a cakewalk. It's been hard, but it's been beautiful. Seeing trauma to restoration. And just for a moment, I want to bless my little beautiful daughter right here, Kinsley. She's 18. She's going off to college. If you would have met Kinsley at the age of 4, she was mute. She didn't speak because she had so much trauma. She has so much pain. Kinsley's now gotten a presidential scholarship to go to WPI in Boston. That right there shows the redemption, the battle of her preparing herself and tilling the ground to fight for what she knows she has. That's moments of God showing us the due moment, blessing Adam and I to open our home up to provide a future for you. And it was worth every fight, and it will always be worth the fight. And then Adam and I, as the kids got older, we were like, okay, we're ready. We got the trauma. We got the, you know, our rhythm going. We can try to have babies. Yeah, it took us 10 years. 10 years to get to our little two. After 4 years of, after 4 rounds of IVF, the first one, we're putting two in, nothing. The second one, we were like, okay, maybe we need to put one, nothing. The third one, we put the one in, we get pregnant, it's a chemical pregnancy, nothing. And then the fourth one, we were like, okay, God, what are you doing? Do we need to reevaluate our lives? But I knew that God had blessed me with three kids, and I knew that God had shown me that I needed more. And so I held on to that, and I talked to my husband. I said, I believe God wants us to, you know, to pursue going for the fourth round. And so we did. And I remember talking to the doctor. He's like, your goal is to get to a baby, right? And I said, yes, that's my goal. He said, so let's just put one. I said, well, I put three. I put one. I put one. I said, the only number that I haven't tried is two. Can we try two? He's like, well, I don't do two. I was like, well, I'm paying for it, so can you put two? Because it's my money. Like, I just had to get really... I was like, because in my mind, if one doesn't work and the other one takes, we're good. I get one out of the two. And God blessed us. He blessed us. And I want to pause in that moment because there's been several God moments, and I call them do moments in my life, and the battle. In August 2015, my husband and I were serving at a conference, and there was a pastor that they took offering and everything, and there was a pastor that said, there are some people in here that's dealing with infertility, and infertility is a statement that you really don't want to talk about. It's like taboo. You don't talk about infertility, especially if you're married, because you know that you can't, you know, there. And so I remember that moment because he looked at my husband. He said, come up. And so my husband and I went up, and he looked at my husband, and he said, you two, you're gonna birth twins. And I said, huh? But I knew within me that God has already spoken that I was gonna have two more. I didn't know it was gonna be singletons. I just didn't know. And I tell you, in 2015, we got pregnant in 2016. But in August 2016, that's when I was confirmed. And can you show real quick? That's when we got the two babies, heartbeats. So within a year, God showed us his faithfulness. He showed us, you know, the battle that you went through was for this moment. And so my, sometimes when we go to battles, we sometimes reject God, or we feel as if you don't hear us, God, you don't understand us, I don't understand why this is happening. And for me, my moment is, I've taken in three of your beautiful children. Can't I just have two or one? You know? And I was so wrong for doing that because I felt entitled. I felt like I deserved that because I did what he told me to do. And at times, that's not, if my attitude was that way, why would God want to bless me anyway? And so I had to humble myself and surrender, like we sung this morning, surrender all. And trust him that whatever you have for me is for me, and it's for me at the right season, at the right time. His no is never like you're not going to do it. It's a no because he's protecting you, or he's girding something up inside of you so that you can be ready for that. And so what I realized is that I had to get my older three more attached to me before he can provide me with two more that needed an attachment. But at the moment, I didn't understand that. I couldn't see that because all I wanted was what I needed. And it's like Gideon, when God told him to decrease his army size. He was like, wait, you want me to go to battle? And then you want me to only have 300? You want me to have 300? We're not going to do that. I can't do that. But he had to trust God in those moments. And so our insecure faith sometimes, it can really cause us to doubt who God is, as we can see in Gideon. Our insecure faith is, God is showing us, but are we able to watch and see what he's doing for us? So here we have Hazel and Lennox, who are now four. They'll be four on the 25th of March. And their life is, when I look at them, I see miracles, because we waited for 10 years to get to them. But I also see restoration. I see three beautiful children that I had to see what it's like to be loved, to be cared for. I see Kinsley, when she becomes a mother, remembering my mom did this, my mom cared for this, my mom did this for the babies, my mom did this for me. Because when she's a mother, she has a correct lens of how love should be portrayed. And that's the beauty of God. Sometimes he shows us pictures of other people's lives so that we can reflect on who we are and who he is for us. And the last thing, I know my time is going, but the last thing I want to talk to you about is the do moments. Gideon teaches us two things. Number one, God's grace reaches beyond insecure faith. Number two, do moments sustain us through the battle. Like Revelation 12:11 demonstrates that our testimony and the blood of the Lamb is how we fight our battles. Your testimony reminds you and the enemy who you are and whose you are. Whether it's spiritual, physical, emotional, circumstantial, we never stop fighting battles in life. But instead of placing all of our energy in these battles, I want to invite you to take a moment to meditate on those do moments in your lives. So I want to give you a moment to really think about what is that moment. It may be now. It may be something that you've dealt with since you were a little girl or a little boy. What is that moment that God is trying to speak to you in? What are the battles that you have? So as we close today, my one thing to share is a reminder of how we must fight our battles. And fighting our battles is surrendering all. Is letting go of what we think and how we feel life should go. If Gideon didn't trust God and decrease his army size, then the battle probably wouldn't have been won. If I didn't, you know, talk to myself and say, hey, girl, get rid of that privilege, get rid of those thoughts, I don't think I would be a mother to my two biological and my three adopted kids, which is not, they're my kids. And I say that because I tell my daughter all the time, Kinsley and I talk, and I tell her, it's like, you may have not come from me, but you're every, when God was knitting you in your birth mother's womb, he was thinking of me, and he was thinking of you in our relationship, and the same with my boys. And so, when we have battles, just know that they're for good, and God would use them to change a whole generation. If I would have given up and not fought for my daughter's future, where would she be? If I would have given up and not fought for my boy's future, where would they be? If I would not fought for the fertility and said, devil, you cannot have my womb. And I say a little bit of science and a lot of Jesus when I got my babies. It was a little bit of science and all of Jesus. Where would they be? If I wouldn't have fought and stood in the middle and said, God, you spoke this word. Even when we get in fights, even when we are like, you're sleeping on a couch, I'm sleeping this way, I have to, God reminds me of the scripture, you know? I have to stand in the ground. And it's because of my mom's tenacious faith that I'm able to represent who Jesus is because I saw her. So think about that person in your life that has demonstrated God's faithfulness. And they fought battles and they've overcome. And so my one thing is we fight them through our testimony. And through that, we surrender all to God.
Let me take this off. To hear Randy is to really witness God's faithfulness. To me, the one thing that I'm left with her sermon is faithfulness and the power of other people's faith in your life. It all started with your mama. It all started with your mama, and as we go through life, as mothers, as women, as men, as members of a community, as friends, we do not realize the power that we have to impact the people under our sphere of influence. Even we, as we worship corporately here live, and I know that you online feel it too. As I'm standing here and I'm listening to the voices behind me, I'm being lifted up. As I see your lives and the faithfulness of your family, I believe in God. As I see your circumstance and the fact that you can have your faith be raised through others, is God's faithfulness and reminder that he was there all along. So I think today as we close in worship, we close with that one thing, God's faithfulness is everlasting. And like Randy said, a no is not a no forever. You have to trust him. We need to trust him. So as we worship this morning, let's stand if you're here online. Let's do one worship song that we do as prayer. And wherever you are in life, if you're a teenager, if you're older, if you're in the middle somewhere, wherever you are, if there are no's, if there are battles, if there are things that you just don't understand and the fight, like Randy was saying, the fight. Just use your life as an inspiration that the fight will be worth it in the end. The fight will be worth it in the end, and all of it through the grace of Jesus carrying you through. So let's worship. Let's worship. Let's close in worship. Focusing our eyes on Jesus, our heart's gratitude for his faithfulness.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Child.
whether you're online or you're here and you feel far away from God, and you can witness this faithfulness, but you're unsure if you know God, just, you're a prayer away. And all you need to do is say, Lord, I'm here. Jesus, I believe. Forgive me. I surrender all, like we sang. So if that is you, if that is you, whether you're online or you're here, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and just say this prayer with me. Just say, I surrender. I surrender, Jesus. I want to be part of your family. I believe that you are the Son of God. You died for me and you rose again. Show me how much you love me. Amen.
As we were praying this morning before service started, there's always an expectancy knowing that we are loved beyond what we can imagine, that He desires to speak to us. So there's a couple things that came up as we were praying. And if this is for you and you're online, there's a button that you can request prayer. We'd love to pray with you. And in the room, we'll create some space for that in a minute. But there was the image of a tree planted by rivers of living water. But the tree sort of feels dry. And the admonition of God is like, be patient. There are good things coming. It's not your work to get to the water. The water will get to you, and that He is moving. Also, just an invitation to let go of some things. And I think that can be sort of general, but there are some people that specifically are needing to let go of some things. And then there's an invitation also to dance again. And this is specific, that it's a dance you already know, but you've stopped dancing. And He's saying it's time to dance again. Also, somebody dealing with migraine headaches, that God wants to touch you. He sees you. He sees your pain. You're not alone. And He wants to touch and heal you. Adam and Randy, thank you so much. I can't help but recognize that the due moments ahead are greater than the ones that you've walked through already. So our prayer as a community for you is that He surprises you with scary things. And that then the due moment in that surprise and in that invitation and that calling that He has for you will carry you through to greater things than you could imagine, and that will expand His kingdom in ways that you have yet to see. And so we bless you. Thank you so much. As we go through this week, let us be conscious of the things God is speaking. Let us become more familiar with His presence and recognize where He is moving in us and around us and those around us. Let us share our stories of His goodness as to encourage those around us, and let us be active listeners as others share His stories of goodness and faithfulness. And as you do that, this is our prayer. May the living God,
que el Dios vivo,
the creator of all the heavens and the earth,
creador del cielo y de la tierra,
may He richly bless you and keep you.
Que él te bendiga y te guarde.
May He make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Que él haga su rostro resplandecer sobre ti y te dé su gracia.
May He smile on you and fill you with His peace.
Que Dios mismo te sonría y te dé su paz.
You have been and continue to be extravagantly loved by our Father.
Has sido siempre y sigue siendo hoy extravagantemente amado por tu Padre Celestial.
Go do the same.
Ve y haz lo mismo. Have a great week of worship, and we will see you here next Sunday.